Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care. Aniva nijonne go shabothya, nijonne go shabothya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanamatakwasin, to all of our relations. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's program, we focus on the important issue of the rights of Indigenous peoples to continue our traditional cultural lifeways that are based on living with and from Mother Earth, what in English is termed subsistence culture. We have the honor to hear Gwich'in spokesperson Norma Kasi speak on this topic as she addressed an international audience of conservationists. Many non-native people, especially those who come from urban areas, have little understanding of nature or even how traditional tribal peoples have lived in a balanced relationship with the natural environment. Many who call themselves environmentalists or conservationists, I believe, are sincere people who do care for the well-being of the environment. As a professional ecologist, I have spent much of my environmental science career working in the conservation movement, so I do understand the concerns of wilderness advocates. Unfortunately, many conservationists, and they're mostly white-privileged Euro-American environmental groups, have not tried to seriously understand how we Indigenous peoples do in fact care for and protect what in English is called wildlife and wilderness. It is a real tragedy that some animal rights activists do not respect Aboriginal people's rights to live as free as the animals they care about. It is getting harder and harder for us Native peoples to continue our ways of life living from the land, as wilderness advocates, in their ignorance, are making it harder for subsistence-based cultures to survive. In the end, this is detrimental to the animals' survival as well as we Native peoples. Indians and the animals and plants live in a symbiosis. We keep each other strong and healthy. Scientists are now finally admitting that some of the best preserved areas of biodiversity on the planet are in fact the homelands of indigenous peoples, such as the Gwich'in, the Garifu people, whom our speaker Numakatsi is from, and who represents the Caribou people today in our program. Hunting, fishing, trapping, and gathering of plants is still an important means of physical survival for many tribal peoples. Living off the land and waters is also the basis of our cultural, spiritual beliefs, which we Native peoples have the right to practice. We Indigenous peoples honor the earth. Our ceremonies are based on protecting our relatives, the animals and plants, fish and marine life, caring for the forests and grasslands, the canyons and arid lands, the rivers and coastal waters. The web of life, scientists term ecosystems, we Indians call Mother Earth. Conservation is not just some scientific aspect of biology to Native peoples. It is our traditional life way, passed down generation to generation as law and codes of conduct of our tribal societies. Much of the role of our clan mothers and spiritual leaders were and continue to be ensuring that tribal members do not disrespect or harm our natural world relatives, what in English is called nature. Mother Earth is sacred to us Indian peoples. Hunting, fishing, trapping, gathering of plants for food and medicine, and using the land for subsistence farming are all done with reverence. Prayer songs, fasting, and rituals that offer our appreciation to the Great Spirit, to the animal and plant life we ask to utilize in order for us to live, exemplify how we, traditional Native people, do not take for granted or even waste whatever we hunt, fish, trap, gather, or grow. Listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard other programs focused on Arctic Indigenous peoples and the environment, including the Gwich'in. These other programs have largely focused on the issues facing tundra people as a result of energy development. This is especially a serious situation with the efforts to open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, ANWR, to oil and gas development. This will, as most listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio know, greatly impact both the Gwich'in Nation and Inuit peoples. Today's program also addresses the issue of Native peoples' rights of subsistence, a major aspect of Aboriginal sovereignty and self-determination. This program is from a speech presented by Numakatsi to the Fourth World Wilderness Congress, which I had the opportunity to attend. Please listen now to Gwich'in spokesperson Numakatsi. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. Aho, kinawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, elders, guests, delegates, indigenous brothers and sisters. I'm Numakatsi, and I am of the Vanta Gwich'in Nation, the people of the lakes, of the far northwestern part of Canada. My village of Old Crow is the most northern community in the Yukon Territory. I am a member for Old Crow in the territorial legislature. Since being elected just over 2.5 years ago, I have had the privilege to attend meetings across my country to speak and to learn. I'm excited and honored to have this opportunity to participate in a meeting of people from around the world, as well join up with relatives, the American Indian Institute, and relatives from my own country, such as Miles Richardson, president of the Haida Nation of the Haida Gwaii of the Queen Charlotte Islands. Just recently, Miles and the Haida Nation played a fundamental role in protecting the South Moresby Islands of British Columbia. You people with whom I can share our concerns, our struggles, our dreams, and our ideas. The name of this conference is the World Wilderness Forum, and I was asked to address the particular theme of environmental perspectives from Native people. Those words have a very deep and powerful meaning to me and my people. I am both a legislator and a leader of my community and must constantly struggle with how to assist governmental officials, politicians, and decision makers to understand that the environment to us is not a matter of perspective or forms. It is our life and our survival. Let me explain. The Yukon is changing, and I want to share with you what those changes are all about, mostly by using examples from Old Crow, my community of 300 Aboriginal people. Changes are taking place as well in the territory as a whole. For the first time in history, the new democratic government of which I am a member has a majority Aboriginal elected members, including two cabinet ministers and the Speaker of the Legislative Assembly. Even with the majority, it is sometimes difficult to create a cultural balance. It is important to understand that in the Yukon, the land claims of the Aboriginal people have never been settled. No treaties were signed and no conquest ever occurred. Our land claims negotiations are a difficult process. The claim involves more than land ownership. It also must address Aboriginal self-government. Self-government means the right to decide what happens to our people and to all important resources of our lands, to continue to protect our resources, in other words, our environment. My people have governed their environment for thousands of years to sustain their communities and lands for generations to come. Southerners and Northerners, white people and Aboriginal people must come to an understanding and accommodation which allows the environment to sustain us both for all time. Old Crow is located before the junction, below the junction of the Crow River and Porcupine River. These rivers meet and then join the Yukon River, which flows through Alaska to the Bering Strait. Much like this great river system, the Kuchin Nation extends through the Northwest Territories, the Yukon, and Alaska. We have a language of our own and a strong culture based on the land. It has been documented that we have been a self-determined people for at least 30,000 years. Through all these years, we have lived and managed the resource in a sustainable manner. We have conserved and protected the caribou and other animals, and we have lived in harmony with the natural world. While you might think of us as living in the wilderness of northern Canada, we think of ourselves as being of the wilderness. We and our activities are part of our natural wilderness system and have been for tens of thousands of years. Our ability to live with our environment has always depended on our old ones, our elders, who command the respect of the community and whose direction we must follow. The elders train their children and educate them in our traditional ways. We are taught to conserve Mother Earth and all the resources she holds that are given to us so freely every day. I mean the basics of life that we cannot survive without. The air that we breathe, the water we drink, the plants, the wildlife that we eat and use. The land is not something which lies pristine and dormant, stretching away empty around my village. Every spring, for example, the village of Old Crow becomes nearly deserted as many families leave town to go muskrat trapping, or ratting, as we call it, in the Old Crow Flats, the many lakes north of the village. From the month of March until June, our culture thrives on a springtime of hard work, traditional training, and personal as well as family unit development. The muskrats we get are an essential part of our yearly income. Their harvest is a focal point for our tradition. This is also true for many northern communities. Fur trapping is a very significant activity where most people are not part of the wage economy. Animal rights activists in the south and overseas who attack fur harvesting ignore the fact that Yukon's wilderness provides a basic subsistence living for most people. The anti-fur campaign is an attack on the survival of my community and the Kuchin Nation. My people are of the wilderness. We use the land and the animal. It is our life's foundation. Aboriginal people are an important part of the environment where I live. There may not be villages or roads everywhere. The evidence which you may associate with human use, but we do use the land. So when Southerners think about northern wilderness, they need to think about allowing traditional use of the land and wildlife by a culture much different from their own. It is good that some areas are set aside to protect wildlife, and it is good that there are controls on industries and road building. But Southern ideas of excluding all human activities from all wilderness areas is not an idea that my people can ever agree to. We conserve the resources, but we have to use them to survive. We need the wilderness for food and for life in general. We are of the wilderness. This spring I spent a month on the flats, a place which nourished me spiritually. But beautiful as it may be, I have seen a lot of changes there. Changes have taken place since I was last on the Old Crow Flat. Subtle changes, slow changes that the elders talk of. In the environment, lakes are drying up here and there. Our snow water doesn't taste like it used to. Small animals, rabbits, ptarmigans, birds, ducks, migratory birds are not as abundant as they used to be. As well, the behavior of the caribou has changed. It's different from what the elders used to remember. There are more airplanes flying over our camps, including American military jets flying tests. This is upsetting. My elders speak about these changes. They speak about them often with concern. We suspect that many of the changes are the result of industrial developments in the South and in Alaska, and we fear the effects of nuclear testing, oil spills, chemical waste deposits, pollution, the influx of more people who see wilderness only as a resource to be exploited. We are very concerned. How much more can the land and the wilderness tolerate? In Old Crow, the people believe that our future relies on our renewable resources. We are not interested in the exploitation of non-renewable resources such as oil and gas. Huge developments such as the Mackenzie Valley Pipeline have been proposed for our area. Our village fears development. The benefits from such exploitation of our land flow all in one direction, and it isn't to our people. I do not believe we need a pipeline, a road, or a port facility on the North Coast to give us wage work. We have learned that all oil industry work is unreliable. It comes and goes with the price of oil and gas. The large-scale developments, such as the proposed oil and gas developments on the Alaska North Coast, will be devastating for our people. We rely on the caribou that use the coastal plains. The caribou are our main source of food. We eat caribou meat 3 or 4 times a day, boiled, dried, roasted, from the nose to the inside, and we use hides for clothing. The caribou is our very essence of our survival, and we intend to protect our future through the development of a local conservation strategy. We may have to make accommodations to other interests in the fast north, but we will fight to make our priorities known and included when decisions are made. Our local conservation strategy will focus on 6 renewable resource issues of immediate concern: the water, fuel wood, timber, fish, fur, caribou, waterfowl, and our control and involvement in the operation of North Yukon Parks. With the support of the Yukon government, we will build a strategy that makes sure that the resources are not overused and that they will continue to be able to sustain us for all time. This strategy will involve our traditional laws and practices concerning our land and our environment. Scientists like to use big words when they talk about conservation. Words like sustainable development, biological diversity, and ecological stability roll off their tongues. But to my people, it all means one thing. It means our survival. All the fancy concepts in the World Conservation Strategy come down to one idea in communities like Old Crow: survival. There is really no acceptable alternative to conservation for my people. At least if we want anything like our present lifestyle, and if we want a future which follows our tradition. With a conservation strategy in place, we will have a more secure future. But getting the strategy in place will mean hard work. If we have the strategy, we can continue to hunt, fish, and trap, and survive with some certainty in our lives. The Aboriginal people of our country have the skills of conservation. We follow our traditional laws. When we take, we have our ways of giving back. If we go out on the land and take a caribou, we give back some of it. We have our traditional ways of doing so because of our spiritual ties to the land. If we take fur, it is in balance with the muskrat that are available to us. We share with everything. We are part of the natural cycle and must live that way to maintain a balance between our needs and the available wildlife resources. If we destroy the land and resources on which we depend, with which we live, then we are destroying ourselves. The Wantagudjin conservation strategy will help us ensure that there is a future for the children of Old Crow. But it cannot stand on its own. Cooperative arrangements must be made with other organizations which share the responsibility for managing the resources on which we depend. Our Wantagudjin conservation strategy will stand a better chance of helping us because it will mesh with a strategy for sustainable development which my government is working on for the whole of the Yukon Territory. But what about the world beyond the Yukon borders? The caribou on which we depend recognize no political boundaries. In Canada, they move between the Yukon and the Northwest Territories. Internationally, the herd moves from Canada to Alaska and back. We have recognized that fact. The Gwich'in people in the Northwest Territories, the Yukon, and Alaska are now all represented on the boards that make decisions on the management of the porcupine caribou herd that has all user interests represented, a majority Aboriginal membership and an Aboriginal chairperson. The government of the Yukon also has representatives on the board. The board has responsibilities for harvest allocation and deals with management issues. It's the decision that no commercial harvest of the herd will be allowed except for traditional practices of sharing food within the Aboriginal communities is one example of the kind of issue it deals with. This year, an additional management mechanism was put in place. I represented the Yukon government in Ottawa this summer when the governments of Canada and the United States signed an international agreement for management of this herd. This agreement will establish a management advisory board designed to improve the cross-border communication of information about the caribou. It took a long time to negotiate this agreement. Unfortunately, in spite of all this, the caribou is still threatened. The United States Department of Interior is proposing to open the last 10% of the coastal plain to development in the heart of the calving grounds of the porcupine caribou. They are doing this in spite of scientists warning about the potential effects on the animals, not just the caribou, but the birds, the bears, the muskoxen, which use this area. I'm aware that there is considerable opposition to the oil and gas proposal in the United States, and I am grateful. The proposal is frightening to my people, and it must be stopped. Because we are opposing these particular oil developments in Alaska, we have been accused by some government officials and developers in the United States of being anti-development. Well, yes, we are. If development is always defined on their terms, development to us, however, is preservation. And we have been successful to date in preventing their kind of developments in the caribou habitat in Canada. We depend on the caribou and our survival depends upon their protection. We cannot tolerate any harm to these renewable resources that have sustained my people and our ancestors for many thousands of years. My people have contributed to the development of conservation policies that are now in place for the Northern Yukon. We now have the North Yukon National Park, which has been established through the land claim settlement on the North Slope. and we are negotiating a new land settlement for the Old Crow area. In time, we hope to ensure even more protection for the caribou through a regional land use planning process. But the developments proposed for Alaska National Wildlife Refuge lands will potentially destroy not only the habitat of the caribou, but the migratory birds, the polar bears, foxes, grizzly bears, and many other species of wildlife which live in the Alaska coastal plain and the north coast of Canada. It's time for our own kind of development. The migratory birds that use the area, for example, are the same ones that sustain the people on Banks Island in the Canadian Arctic, and they are the same ones that are hunted for sport in British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and California. The habitat pressures on these birds are growing all along their flyway, especially in places like California, where wetlands are being converted to agriculture at a rapid pace. We need to be aware that these international resources are at very great risk. The world is linked together. We need to be responsible for one another's well-being and get away from this myth that we are only having little local effects with projects like those on the Alaska coastal plain. Just consider issues like acid rain, the ozone depletion, or the Chernobyl accident. The human species is affecting the entire planet now, with our waters poisoned, our plants and animals dying, then we are next. Everything is linked to everything else. We need to wake up to this reality. This message is one that definitely was heard by the World Commission on Environmental Development. And I am very pleased that the United Nations is debating the report this fall. And I think Prime Minister Brundtland and the other commissioners heard the message being delivered by communities like Old Crow. And I hope in my heart that the world's leaders will also hear the message. Similarly, we need the leaders of the United States government to hear the voices of the Gwich'in Nation. The people of Old Crow must be heard, and I ask you for your support. I urge any of you with concern or influence over decisions about the Alaska Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to try harder still to protect it from development. The very survival of our northern native communities is at stake. I think you can see that conservation and sustainable development are ideas that are very much alive in our minds. In our tradition, we have always been aware of our unity with the life and the land around us, of our activities having an effect on the world beyond that which is immediately obvious. As my people and all indigenous peoples seek to manage our land and its resources, as we always have, we seek your cooperation to that end that perspective is our offering. As the Gwich'in people, we have hopes and aspirations for the future. We hope that the world will come together to conserve what we have left. And we hope that the culture and traditional values of the world's people will seek to follow the natural laws. We believe that our Mother Earth has had enough destruction and can't possibly handle much more. The world is trying to deal with nuclear experimentation and pollution that has gone beyond our control. We see more and more people suffer, and even we are affected where we live. In Old Crow, we want to take care of what we have left and share it with whoever will respect it and do the same. I am proud to be part of this World Wilderness Congress, and I believe that together we can make the world a better place. I want to believe that my people can sustain our traditional lives. The environment demands it of us, and we have grown to enjoy and believe that we, the Gwich'in Nation, can live forever in harmony with our surroundings. This Congress is focused on achieving this balance. I welcome you to share the future with our people, and I invite you all, not all at once, to come and visit our land. I want to thank you very much for listening and sharing the concerns of my people. The Honorable David Porter, my colleague, a Kaskadena from the southeastern part of the Yukon, who is our Minister of Renewable Resources, regrets that he was unable to be here and through me sends his wishes of our people for successful deliberations. Masi to.
Hey! listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their world views in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi's Kinunwatakusi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
sleeping dream. I can feel the fire of a never-ending flame and the soft healing touch of the summer rain. Indian nation, a proud legacy, a reminder of all that we hold. Indian nation, keeper of a great mastery, tell the story there told. A drumbeat plays a rhythm to the heartbeat of the land. They all dance together in a circle hand in hand. People of the earth stand strong against the sun, bound by the spirit, singing harmony as one. Indian nation, a proud legacy, a reminder of all that we hold. Indian nation, keeper of a great mastery, tell the story never told. True and free, look inside your hearts, purity you'll see. The call of the evil calls out to you and me as we journey homeward to our chosen destiny. Indian nation, a proud legacy, a reminder of all that we hold. Indian keeper of a great mastery, tell the story they told.
Thank you. Nothing more than English.
from Haudenosaunee Mohawk singer-songwriter Howard Lyons, from his CD entitled Spirit Walk. That song was a woman's honoring song, which I played as an honor to Gwich'in warrior Norma Kasi, whom you heard in today's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We also featured two songs from Turtle Island Music, contemporary native singer Peggy Vermette's song Lies, and also Grant Severide singing Indian Nations. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Native Radio. For more information on Indigenous and environment issues, please continue listening each week to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. You can also visit our Yat Kitishi Native Center website at www.yatkitishee.org and check out our links page for more contacts. We shall conclude today's program with a Gwich'in traditional song, the Caribou Skin Hut Dance. It is sung by our dear friend, Gwich'in Elder Sarah James, with music by Dean Evanson. The song is from a very wonderful CD entitled Arctic Refuge, A Gathering of Tribes, which is a recording of a benefit CD that was held to defend the Gwich'in and protect Anwar, available from Soundings of the Planet. Well, dear friends, until the next Wolf Mountain Native Radio, this is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker, thanking you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Aho, Kinawan Takwasin, to all of our relations.